Praise the Lord. Let me start by saying this. I believe this word is for somebody here today, maybe more than one. Don't give the devil any place. Don't give the devil any place in your life. The scripture says that in Ephesians 4. It talks about when you go to bed at night, if you feel angry, deal with the anger. Get rid of anger. Why? Because if you go to bed with that anger, it grows while you're sleeping. I'm sorry to say. It's kind of like bad breath. It just kind of, you wake up the next morning, it's like it's horrible. For some of you, not all of us. But anyways, the Bible says, give no place to the devil. And that's not my message today, but I believe the Lord wanted me to make sure I got that word out, that you have the option, you have the choosing ability as to how much ground you give the devil in your life. Don't give him any place. Amen? And if you've given him ground in the past, take it back. If you gave it to him to begin with, it's yours. It was originally yours. You can take it right back. Amen? So take that ground that the enemy may have. You know, what happens is we give him ground, and then he starts to, you know, he comes in with his big boss, big bad boss, you know, mask on, and then we start to get intimidated and feel like, oh, well, he's the boss in this area of my life now. No, he's not. Amen. It was yours to begin with. It was never his. You know, the devil is a homeless creature. I like what I heard someone pointed out recently. And when he walks into the room, when fear comes around you, the reason that fear comes near us is the devil is the most fearful creature on earth. Think about it. He knows his future. He has no home. He's the one person who's destined for the lake of fire, and he's deserving of it, and he knows it. He's the most fearful creature on earth. When he comes into the atmosphere and you start to feel fear, and that fear starts to make you feel like that's yours, don't own it. Realize the fearful one just came into your sphere. Run him out. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to talk today briefly with you about our salvation. Our salvation. And the title of my message today is Saved. With an exclamation point. Saved. You and I are saved. Aren't you glad? Amen. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. If you look at it here on the screen, we're not going to turn to it, but I want you to see it here. The scripture admonishes us there in the book of Hebrews. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? I'm going to declare to you the length and breadth and height and width, a greater scope of your salvation today in this amount of time that I have to work with. We're happy to give Jesus all the whole service. Amen. So, you know, if I have to squinch the preaching down, we'll just do what we got to. But Jesus has been working today, so no worries there. But he says here, don't neglect such a great salvation. He didn't say, don't neglect your salvation. He said, such a great. Say great.
Great.
Listen, when Jesus saved you, he saved you with a great salvation. It's awesome. And I hope that by the end of this message, you'll see how far-reaching and all-encompassing, especially those of you that have been saved for a while. It's easy for you to get kind of dry in your experience with your salvation and really lose sight of how powerful the salvation that God deposited in your life when he got you, how far-reaching it will be, not only for today, but into the future and all the days of your life. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Romans 10, where it describes our salvation, how we got saved. Can you give me just a little bit more on my mic, Laura Lynn? Not too much. I don't want it to ring, but I need a little more oomph. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. If you'll turn there, please. By the way, that word saved is a Bible word. Listen, I told you last week, your neighbors already think you're crazy, so you just might as well talk the talk. And if you say things now and then like, I'm saved, and they look at you and with a raised eyebrow, just know that they were already raising their eyebrow trying to figure you out before you ever said it, before you open your mouth. But I'm telling you, we need to not be ashamed of Bible words. Amen. Like, I'm born again.
Amen.
I've had a new start. I'm saved. Thank God I'm saved. If they say, well, that's a weird thing. Well, what are you? If you're not saved, what are you? Doomed? Hi, I'm doomed. I'm saved. I'm going to make a distinction there. Saved is much better than doomed. Amen. Once I was doomed, now I am saved. Let's don't be ashamed of Bible words like saved, born again. That's our experience. That's our inheritance in the Lord. Amen. We need to not be ashamed of that word saved. But look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. That's who we are. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Praise the Lord. Well, let's go ahead and read verse 11. It's so good too. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. Well, let's just keep going. For there's no difference between the Jew or the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's one of the easiest scriptures to witness to a lost person with. You just, as you're leaving, you say, you know what? I don't know, you know, where you're at in your faith today, but I just want to tell you, if you ever get into a heap of trouble, the Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a good promise to leave a sinner. Just leave them with that. And then, you know what? It'll come back to them. And someday when they're being sucked down into a vortex, a pit of quicksand of death and destruction and turmoil, they'll remember that word. Oh, they told me, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus! It's as good as saying help. That's all you need to do. Cry out to the Lord. Say help, and you'll be saved. Praise the Lord. Well, we're saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us. But listen, I want to drive home this truth to you today, to you, that salvation is not a one-time experience. It's a lifetime experience. The nature of what happened to you and I when we did what this verse says here in Romans 10, 9 and 10, when we believed, when we confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus, when we believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that in that moment when we were saved, when we were pulled out of sin initially, a power came into our life that will resonate for the rest of our life. Amen. And that power is salvation. And it will save you all of your days. Amen. Glory to God. Amen?
Yes.
All of the days of your life. I like that word operation. Salvation will be in operation. If you're reading a manual, salvation will be in operation all the rest of your days. That's true of us.
It is.
Your salvation will be in operation all of your days. You may not need it today. And so some days, you know, we go along in life. And you ever had one of those days where, like, you know, if someone was to ask you, how was your day? Kind of non-eventful. Praise God for non-eventful.
Amen.
Praise God you didn't need saving. Yeah. Non-eventful is just fine.
Yeah. Amen.
But on the day that you need it, in the day of trouble, you can call out to the Lord.
Yes, you can.
And salvation will work in you again. The same salvation that got you into the kingdom will save you once more. Rachel didn't, you know, Rachel and I don't consult about her song list. I didn't tell her I'm preaching on salvation, being saved and being saved over and over again throughout life. Sing that song, do it again. I didn't tell her that. She just chose it by the Holy Spirit. He'll do it again. He'll do it again and again and again in your life. He is the Savior. And he will be that to you throughout your whole lifetime. Praise the Lord. The other day, I was in prayer at the house, and Terry was going to run some errands, and as she left, I just got this sense the minute she drove off, I thought, she needs protection today. And I just prayed in the Spirit. I just kept doing, I didn't do anything outlandishly different than I was already doing. I was already praying in the Spirit. Best way to pray is pray in tongues. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says in Romans 8, we don't know what we should pray for, so we pray in the Spirit. So I just prayed on in the Spirit. Later that day, I got word that she was almost T-boned, just driving around Alvin, good old Alvin, you know, just slow-paced Alvin, slow country town. But how many of you know the devil's still at work in Alvin? You know, he does his best to try to steal, kill, and destroy. But God saved.
Amen.
God protected.
Amen.
God, what's that scripture you always quote? She passed by safely because of the Lord. Amen. Salvation. Salvation. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. By the way, I'm really thrilled about this new series on the epistles, the letters that Paul wrote, the short epistles. On Wednesday nights, if you would like some more in-depth study or in-depth understanding on Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, come on out on Wednesday night. Come be a part. I'm chomping at the bit. I am salivating over the next book, Ephesians.
Yeah.
We're going to jump into Ephesians here in about a month, but we're working our way through Galatians right now, and it's good. It's good stuff. You'll understand the Bible more clearly. Listen, the epistles were written to the church. They are Jesus' red letter words after the resurrection. Do you understand that? The most important parts of your Bible you ought to read over and over throughout the course of a year are Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. There is so much packed in there for the church. for this day and age. Amen? That's the books you ought to be reading on a regular basis. Well, we're going to be studying that on Wednesday nights. Ephesians 3. There's my advertisement. Ephesians 3:20. It says this. I'm going to read it in the modern version, the New International Version. Now to him who is able. Say able.
Able.
He's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, the King James says, or think, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Say this with me. Power is at work in me. Yes, it is. Ephesians 3:20 tells us the power is at work within us. And that power will be at work within you till your dying day and to your children's dying day and their children's day. That the Bible says here, throughout all generations. Amen. It's God's desire that the church glorify him all their days. Yes. And into all generations. Amen. God is watching from heaven right now. He is watching down. He's looking down through this open heaven here at us. And he's watching the glory manifest in our life. Generation after generation after generation. Why? Because the Bible says here, there's a power at work within us. And in another part of Ephesians, it says, at work in us who believe. Amen? Amen? And I'm telling you here today, I'm declaring to you today, there's a power at work in your life. When God raised Jesus from the dead, in effect, he rescued all who would believe on him from every situation they would ever come across that would be like a danger, a detriment to your life. Jesus, when he was raised from the dead, he is the epitome of rescue. That whole experience of Jesus being lifted out of the grave is, in effect, it is the victory for you and I in every circumstance in life, including our last enemy, who is death. And even in death, for the believer, there's no sting. You don't need to fear death. And we don't want an untimely death. We don't want a suffering death. But you don't need to fear death. Jesus has removed the sting of death. Praise the Lord. We have a great salvation, as Hebrews 2 declares. It is a great salvation. Amen? Say that with me. It's a great salvation. You're saved. You're not doomed. And just like a cork floating on the top of an ocean wave out, you know, the oceans kind of represent the big, bad, evil world around us. The oceans are huge. They're massive. You know, the world out there is terrifyingly evil. You know that, right? But praise God, we live in Goshen. The word Goshen means near. Joseph said, come live in Goshen. You'll live near me. And Jesus, when you come into the kingdom, you live near Jesus. Amen. We live in a bubble. We really do. Sometimes I almost feel guilty for it. And I go, no. This is what Jesus paid for. Because my life is so, you know, at home, we're at peace. We're in joy. I mean, you could strip it all away from me tomorrow. I got the joy in my heart. But it's because of the kingdom. You put a cork on it on the ocean. And I'm telling you, that cork will bob and bob and bob and bob. You could pull it down. You know, the fish can, I don't fish, but this is the way I understand it to work. There's a hook at the bottom, right? And there's a big chunk of meat or a worm or something on there, right, Ben? Help me out here. And the fish comes along and the fish bites the bait and the cork goes under. And that tells you it's time to pull back on the reel. Is that correct? All right. Let me tell you something. That cork can be pulled under time and time again, but that cork will never stay under. And that's just like you and I. That thing's coming up. I'm telling you, there'll be times in your life where you feel like, I'm going under. This is greater than me. I'm overwhelmed by the ocean's waves that are come crashing over my life. I'm telling you, you cannot be sunk in Jesus. Amen. Because you are saved. Yes. You are saved in Jesus. Look at John 17. John 17, 15. I'm going to have Alan put it up here on the screen. If you don't have your Bibles, you'll lose one gold star on your chart this week, but next week you should bring it. John 17, 15. Jesus said, my prayer is not that you would take them out of the world. We read this just the other day in our Bible readings. Jesus praying his prayer before he goes to the Father. My prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. Jesus prayed that prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane. Gethsemane, by the way, means the olive press. The olive press. Jesus was pressed there in the garden. He was crushed beneath the weight that was to be the cross there upon him. And in his crushing, we were healed. Amen?
Amen.
There in the olive press. But Jesus prayed this prayer. My prayer is that you would protect them from the evil one. Do you know those words have rung out for 2,000 years?
Amen.
In the Father's heart? That prayer has been answered time and time again for 2,000 years. In fact, it's part of what we call the Lord's Prayer. You've heard the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. How does it end? You know, near the end there it says, You lead us not into temptation. You what? Deliver us from evil. Jesus taught his disciples to pray that. And this is the prayer he prayed for you and I. And that prayer is resonating over our life. Once you become born again, once you get saved, Jesus' words are covering your life. And the Father is honoring those words, and he will save you time and time again. And that doesn't mean we tempt him. We don't go out on a limb and just try to see, hey, is he really watching? Can I go, you know, how far can I go and God rescue me? No, you don't want to tempt God. The devil tried that with Jesus. He said, jump off the temple. By the way, do you know how tall that was? I did the research on it recently. Herod's temple, when the devil took him to the highest point on the temple and said, jump off. God will lift you with his angels. 15 stories. Whoo! I'm not afraid of heights, but if I was standing 15 stories and looking down, yeah, that's a big jump. So we don't want to tempt God. But I'm here to declare to you, I want to build in your heart a sense of rest and assurance that there's a safety net under your life.
Amen.
And it's true. We don't test the net. We don't go out and do something stupid just to see if God's going to catch us. But I'm telling you, he will catch you. Because of these words Jesus prayed 2,000 years ago for you and I. Protect them from the evil one. Protect them from the evil one. This prayer is being answered to this day and every day in the Lord. Amen? Because you're what?
Saved.
Bunny's listening. We're saved. And we're not ashamed of it, are we? I'd rather be saved than doomed any day. I'm saved. I'm glad to be in his hand. I'm glad to be in his safety net. I'm glad that the same God who saved me from yesterday's dumb choices. I mean, after all, you don't think you've made the last dumb choice in your life, do you really? Are you that naive? There's more to come. We sing that song here. There's more to come. Let me tell you something. There's more to come. We're just sheep. There's going to be some more. Not that we're trying to be that way. It's just who we are. Sheep sometimes wander off. But let me tell you something. Even in those bad choices, like we read in Romans 10, if you'll cry out, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's for the old Christians too. Not just for the sinners coming to the Lord. You know, if you're in baseball and you steal second base, you know, that pitcher's not looking and he throws that pitch and you run, you're on first base and you run to second base and you slide in the dirt on your face and you touch the bag just before the guy at second base, the second baseman gets the ball and the umpire yells what?
Safe.
And you stand up, you dust your jersey off and your pants off, your nice white pants and those silly socks they wear, and get your back ball cap straightened back on, and you stand on the bag and you're confident. You know, no matter what that second baseman, no matter what trash talk he comes around trying to deny your condition, I got you. I tagged you, man. I beat you. You're out. He can trash talk all day long. The ump has spoken. You're saved. You're safe. Doesn't matter what the devil says about you. Doesn't matter what he accuses you of. How much he tries to pile on the garbage in your conscience, in your sense of worthiness before the Father. The truth is, you and I are saved. We're safe. I wrote this down. Your advocate is greater than your accuser. Jesus is our advocate. Oh, he's better than Perry Mason. You never met a lawyer like Jesus. Because he vindicates you with his own blood. That's love. You have an advocate who stands before the Father, no matter what you're being accused of by that second baseman. And Jesus, by his blood, his precious blood poured out upon the mercy seat, it speaks of a better thing. It speaks holiness, righteousness, deserving, acquittal, saved. Amen. Safe. That blood declares who you really are. Your advocate is greater than your accuser. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You say, I don't feel saved today. I don't feel close to God. You know, I'm a pastor, and many days I wake up and don't feel too spiritual. But you know, we don't go by feelings.
Right.
Feelings are totally irrelevant to faith.
Amen.
Now, praise God when the feelings come.
Yep.
It's icing on the cake. But I can eat my cake without icing. How about you? Because that's where the substance is. That's what they tell me. But I like the icing too. But, you know, they tell me that the substance is in the cake. But I'm telling you, you don't have to have feelings for this thing to work.
Amen.
In fact, when you operate in authority in the kingdom, you will probably feel very little. I've prayed for people and didn't feel a thing, and they got their miracle healing. We don't go by feelings.
Amen.
We're saved.
Yes.
We're acquitted. The blood has cleansed us.
That's right.
He's our good shepherd. You know, I love that. I love to meditate on that. That is my sleeping pill. I used to take melatonin every now and then when I thought I needed, you know, maybe a little boost to get me to sleep at night. And that stuff kind of went backwards on me. So, you know, I took to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And when I say those words, the Lord there in the Hebrew is Jehovah. Excuse me, it's Yahweh. Yud Heh Vav Heh, the Hebrew letters, which means see the nail, see the hand, see the nail. Yahweh is my shepherd. Listen, I'll gladly follow the man who took the nail for me.
Yes.
Those are some loving hands.
Amen.
Those feet that are nail pierced, when they lead my life, I'm going wherever he leads me. So I just say those words. I start quoting Psalm 23. In the King James, it works real well. It's very poetic. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You'll be asleep in no time. I can't get through it twice usually. No, I'll be out cold. So there you have it. We walk by faith. Hebrews 2:8. Would you look at Hebrews chapter 2 with me in your Bible, please? Hebrews 2 and verse 8. For some of you that got prayer this morning up here, the Lord spoke this over several people's lives, and I want to declare it over all of you. All of you. Because, you know, in any given season of our life, we may have feelings, speaking of feelings, we may have feelings much like I'm sure the woman who was caught in adultery felt. You know, she was caught in the very act. It was a setup. The Pharisees set her up. I'm sure one of the Pharisees was with her, probably. And he snuck out the back door, and the guys took her, probably, you know, in less than modest clothed condition. Before the crowd. She's shamed before the crowd. You ever felt shame? You ever felt like your life is covered in shame? And you just can't get rid of that sense of shame? Listen, at any given season, we may feel shame like the woman who was caught in adultery. We may feel like the woman who was bowed down in the synagogue, and Jesus said she had been bowed down by Satan for 18 years. All she saw was dirt because she was bowed over. She felt the heaviness of life. Life felt heavy to that woman. Till Jesus lifted her up. The man with leprosy came to Jesus and he said, if you're willing, he was pleading. He was in a sense saying, I don't know if there's anybody out there who loves me this much, but if you're willing, I know I'll be healed. He was pleading. He was desperate. You may feel desperate. I'm going to tell you something. No matter how you feel at any given season in your life, the Lord knows, and the Lord bought all of you. When he redeemed you, he knew what he was getting. You ever bought something and you didn't know what you were getting? And you got it home and it wasn't what you were expecting? We call that a lemon, right? You ever brought a lemon home that you weren't trying to make lemonade? You just happened to bring a lemon home. And you get so, you know, it's so irritating because you think, I spent good money on this and it's broke or it's, you know, junky or whatever. I'm telling you something. When Jesus bought you, he got all of you. He got the worst parts. Those parts that you feel now and then are a part of your life, which they really aren't. They're part of your past. But he got all of you. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8, the last part of verse 8. I'm going to have Alan put it up here. in putting all things under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not see all things put under him, but we see what?
Jesus.
You know, in any given time in your life, you think, well, this still is not right yet. This area of my life is still not where I want it to be. It's still not fixed. Be patient. Be patient. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You don't see everything put under his feet yet, but I'm telling you, if he saved you from your sin, if he saved you to begin with, he'll save you to the end. And he'll save every part. Every part. Every part of your life. Look at Psalm 130. I love that Hebrews 2:8. That's so good. We see Jesus. Look at Psalm 130, verse 7 and 8. I want you to put your eyes on this. Psalm 130. Jesus got every part. Even those parts of your life that don't feel saved yet, just carry them to Jesus. Just hang on. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Because he's going to save every part. Before this is all said and done, he's going to save every part of you. Every part of your life. Look at Psalm 130, verse 7. I love this. This is a good chapter worth... This is chapters worth memorizing right here. Well, the whole Bible, of course, but I'm going to be practical. Okay. O Israel. I like it in the New International Version because they got the O in there. It just expresses so much emotion. O Israel. Put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is what? Full redemption. Say full redemption.
Full redemption.
Listen, with Jesus, there's full redemption. You know, there's parts of our lives that it was so long ago when they were shattered. So long ago when you were wounded in that area. So long ago when that bruising from Satan hit your life. And you've gone along for all these years. You've learned to compensate for it. You've learned to limp, you know, walk with the limp, so to say. But I'm telling you what, Jesus has not overlooked that wounding. He cares. And the scripture says here, put your hope in him because with him is full redemption. He's going to get every part. Every part. With him is unfailing love. With him is full redemption. Verse 8, he himself, what does that mean? He's going to give himself, literally give his life to redeem Israel from all their sins. Say all their sins.
All their sins.
Listen, Jesus is going to save you from all your sins. You may be in here today, you still got some addictions, some habits and things that, you know, you just think, man, I almost don't want to go to church sometimes because I still haven't got this part of my life cleaned up. Be patient. In him is full redemption. He himself will redeem you from all your sins. Amen. He's working in you. There's a power at work in you, and that power is doing what? It's saving you. And he won't quit until your final breath. Don't you give up either. Don't you give up at all. He's got you. He's the safety net beneath you. You're saved. You're the cork. You can't go under. Amen? It doesn't matter how long the devil's been tugging at that area of your life, how successful he's been at keeping you under, in a sense, in that area of your life, that you just feel like, man, oh, every time he gets me in this area. I'm telling you, you're saved. You're saved. And there's a power at work in you, and it's going to fully redeem your life. In him is full redemption. He will save you to the end. Look at Colossians 1:13. Just going to pour some word on these ideas with you this morning. Colossians 1:13. You got John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, then all the little books. Let's go to Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 13. Who has rescued us? Say rescued.
Rescued.
That's another word for saved. If you want to be a little more cool when you talk to your lost friends and say who you are, you can say rescued instead of saved if you want to be a little more modern. But you're saved, truly. But he rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Amen? Two of you got that. You're rescued from the dominion of darkness. That means the devil can't dominate you anymore. I love that word dominion. He cannot oppress you. He cannot rule you anymore. From the dominion of darkness, he brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Hallelujah. In whom we have what? Redemption. Praise the Lord. You know, that word rescued in the Greek language if you look at it, it carries this idea of a rush, like a river, like a flow. And I like to think of it like this. Listen, when you got saved, Jesus rushed into your life. He rushed into your situation. When you cried out to him, he rushed in. Why? It's a picture of a passionate lover. He comes to the aid of his, you know, the damsel in distress, so to say. He cannot help but rush to her aid. Let me tell you something. That same love that rushed to your aid when you accepted Jesus will rush to your aid today. It is no less diminished. That love will drive him to your situation the minute you cry out to him for help. I'm telling you, he's a rushing river of love towards your life. In him is full redemption. Every time you get into a situation, when Terry was in that near accident the other day, all she did is, she only had time to say one word.
Jesus.
You got it. And he rushed into the situation. Because in him is full redemption. He will save you. Amen. May it never grow old.
Amen.
Crying out to Jesus.
Amen.
I had my own near collision. I got in a fight with an 18-wheeler a couple years ago. Me and a cement wall on one side and an 18-wheeler on the other. And he started grinding my car. Literally, I heard the grrrr as he's grinding me into the wall. And I only had time to do one thing. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And he rescued me.
Amen.
Somehow, I got out of it. Praise the Lord. I like my right side, and he would have ground my right side. That's my hand, my piano playing hand. He would have messed me up good, praise the Lord. But he rescued me because he delighted in me. We saw that verse a couple weeks ago. I won't take time to turn there now. That's Psalm 18, verse 19. If you want to make a note of it, go back and read. That's a good promise. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Listen, the same love that sought you out when you were a lost sheep and saved you out of sin, he will rescue you every time. Because he delights in you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to real quickly talk about three channels, three ways that the Lord saves us. Very practical ways. And I'm a pastor. You would expect me to say these. So here we go again. Number one, through the Word of God, through the Bible. The Lord will save you when you need it. He will save you with a word, a delivering word, a promising word. A word that sheds light on your situation. The Bible is one way that the Lord will save you. Listen, this is running water to your life. But running water only does good if you have dirty hands when you make what? Contact. You got to open the book. You may not know where to read. Sometimes I don't know. I say, Lord, just direct me. And I open it up. It feels very random. And some preachers say you shouldn't do that. I'm telling you, there's life in this book. Almost anywhere you open, you can open it to, you know, Ecclesiastes, and God will speak to you something that will save your situation. One of the channels God uses to save you is what? The Bible. Open the book. You've got to make contact in order for him to save you. Secondly, the church. The church. Years ago, there was a funny movie. It was Around the World in 80 Days. With Jackie Chan. I'm not a Jackie Chan fan. It was one of my first times I ever see him on film. But there was a funny line in that movie where the guy said, this is what happens when you leave home. You meet people. This hermit scientist said this. I love that line. You meet people. Listen, in church, you're going to meet people. And all of us are imperfect. But I'm telling you, this is the place where your answer is.
Amen.
This is the place the Lord can use to save you. Because the people sitting on either side of you at any given time, any given season, in your local church, wherever God's placed you, where if you're planted where God has planted you, then there's salvation in the house.
Right.
And you at any given season will have the answer for me, and I at any given season will have the answer for you.
Yes.
There's salvation in the house.
Yes.
Stay in the house.
Amen.
Even though you'll meet people, stay in the house. Stay in the house. Number three. How does God save us? The fivefold ministry. The fivefold ministry. Yeah, you know, there's a saying, never look a gift horse in the mouth. You ever heard that? You know what that means? You don't check a horse's teeth if the horse was given to you as a gift. That's rude. Yeah? What that means when they talk about a gift horse in the mouth, that's people inspecting the teeth of the horse to see how really good quality the horse is. Let me tell you something. The Bible says when Jesus rose from the dead, he gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to men. He gave pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets, evangelists. These were the fivefold gifts that the Lord gave to the earth for the church. You don't look the gift horse in the mouth. Yes, the man of God has to be not living in immorality or some blatant hypocrisy or some blatant heresy? Yes, of course. But beyond that, guess what? The Bible says he gave the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. It doesn't say that the fivefold ministry was perfect. Yeah. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I don't have to be perfect to perfect you. Now I'm working on me. I'm not living sloppy, okay? I mean, I'm very aware. I've got Bible says for a minister of the gospel that lest after they have preached to others, they might be disqualified. I'm not going to be disqualified. But I don't have to be perfect to perfect you. Because I'm God's gift to you in the Lord. I'm God's gift to help perfect you. And salvation, at times you'll come to church and the Holy Spirit will speak through this donkey, this anointed jawbone. The Holy Spirit will speak through me to save you. But you got to stay in church.
Amen.
Listen, you need saving as often as you need your hair combed.
Amen.
As often as you need your teeth brushed. I'm telling you, folks, come on, let's get real. Do we need salvation that much?
Yes.
And the world will say, well, you're just, you know, that Jesus for you is just a crutch. Yes, indeed. Because without him, I got a broke leg. I got a limp. I got a paralyzed life. I need his salvation daily.
Amen.
And salvation happens in the house with the people of God. It happens with the fivefold ministry. And it happens when you open this book, crack it open, and make contact. Praise the Lord. One final word. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to wrap up so we can beat the Methodist to Luby's. 2 Timothy 4. They've already beat us. Sorry. Just go somewhere else today. 2 Timothy 4:16. This is amazing. Oh, I love this passage. Please get out your highlighter, your pen, and write your name next to this verse. It is so powerful. 2 Timothy 4:16. By the way, keep the church in prayer right now. We've got some folks that are recovering from sickness. There was a whole round of junk that just went around like a whirlwind about a week or two ago. Praise the Lord. Most of us are on the recovered side. Amen. We got a few more still need prayer. So just keep your prayers going up for health and healing. Amen. 2 Timothy 4:16. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. Now, Paul's not one to have a pity party, but he's just telling it like it is. Everybody deserted him. May it not be held against them. Wow. Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. You should underline that passage right there. The Lord will save you because he's out to save those who hear you. Your relatives need Jesus. Your friends need Jesus. Your neighbors need Jesus. Jesus will lift you up. He will save you. He will rescue you. He will deliver you. Why? Not just because he loves you, but because you have a message to declare to the world. And Paul said here, he rescued me that the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. I don't know if that's literal or symbolic. Probably symbolic to a large degree, but I think probably in actuality, Paul was delivered from the gladiator ring and literal lions too. He was delivered from the lion's mouth. Let me tell you something. The accuser will come into your life. Years ago, I'll tell you something interesting. Terry lost her voice, her singing voice years ago. We were in a church. This is almost 30 years ago. And there were some witches. I believe they were witches. I think they came in. There was a dark cloud of evil came up, followed these ladies. Whew. I should have stood up and cast it out of them at the moment. I just didn't have that boldness at that time. I wish I've relived that moment in my mind the other day. You in the back. Because you know if we showed up to one of their witches meetings, we'd be glowing in the dark and they'd say something from the front. But I wish I'd have said it. But I'm telling you, there was some sort of evil spell. The enemy spoke something through those unwelcome visitors at that moment. And her life began to spiral. Her health began to deteriorate in her throat. And for years, the enemy kept her back from being able to sing, but God's recovered it, praise the Lord. God's recovered it. But I'm telling you, the lion's mouth is very dangerous.
Yes.
We know the devil's defeated,
amen.
But I'm telling you, his deceptions and his lies are very powerful, even in the life of a believer, if you believe it. You just got to know the truth. The Bible says, believe not every spirit.
Amen.
And Paul said here, God delivered me from the lion's mouth. a big part of a Christian's our part-time job is throwing out bones, because the devil will come and, you know, chew up the meat, spit out the bones. The Bible says, believe not every spirit. You're going to hear words from the lion's mouth every day of your life. And you got to decipher what's Jesus and what's the lion, and throw out the evil. Amen. Cast his words to the ground. But Paul says here, I was delivered in verse 18. Oh, this is beautiful. The Lord, what? Will. That's future tense. Paul said he did it once. He'll do it again. He will rescue me from every evil attack. He will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Whew. There's a promise for you. The Lord has rescued me from the lion's mouth, and he will rescue me from every evil attack, and he will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Amen. To him be the glory forever and ever. Stand together with me. You're saved. You're saved. No matter what that trash talking second baseman yells in your ear, the ump has declared you saved. And I'm telling you, that salvation will work in your life. Like I said, you know, maybe you've never, every time he delivers us, it's exciting. Not that we want to have near-death experiences, amen? Near car crashes and all that stuff. And we don't seek that out. But every time he rescues us, our salvation becomes fresh again. And we get a fresh look at the one who rushed in like a river to save us when we cried out to him originally. Amen. He loves us. He delights in us. He's our Savior. Can you just lift your hands and tell him thanks today? Just tell him thank you for saving you. Thank you for rescuing you when you're at your darkest moment. And in the future, there'll be some dark moments in life. We're not promised that there won't be. But he will be there just the same, and he will rescue you from every evil attack. Bring you safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for such a great salvation today. We thank you, Lord. With eyes closed for just a moment more, if you're here today and you say, Pastor Scott, I don't know Jesus. I'm not saved. When you say that word saved, I don't know what you're talking about. That's new to me, but I want to be. I want Jesus to come into my life. I want him to save me from my sins. I want him to wash me, make me his child. If that's you today, anybody here at all, you say, I need to be saved. I need Jesus to come into my life and rescue me from sin. He's here to do that today for you folks. If you say, I've been away from Jesus, I've been saved before, but I've been out of fellowship with him. I've been out of church. I've been away from the Father, but someone drug me here today. But I want to come back to the Jesus, if that's you as well. I want you to raise your hand in just a moment. We're going to pray a prayer out loud together. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but I want to pray a prayer that will invite him into your life to save you. Anybody at all, you say, I want to be saved today. That's me. Raise your hand real high so I can see it, and we're going to pray a prayer together. Anybody at all in the house? Thank you, Lord. Well, the Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, we call upon your name today. Let's just do it afresh. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Every area. Every sin, Lord. Wash in your blood. Redeem me. It means to buy me back. Purchase me, Jesus. I'm yours for life. Make me your child. And take me to heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Such a great salvation. It's a holy salvation. We never want to test its limits. We don't want to push the envelope and say, how close can I get to sin and to the darkness of this world and still be, quote unquote, saved? No, that's tempting God. We want to walk with him who walks with us. The angels are beholding our lives in awe and wonder. They look and see. And they, like the psalmist, say, what is man that you're mindful of him? But they understand that God loves humans, that he's created us in his image. And to be saved is our destiny. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this great salvation, Jesus. What a great and awesome salvation. Now, Lord, right now, there are those in this room who are in the midst of an attack. They are in battle in their lives, and the lion has roared. The lion has launched his evil attack against them, but they're here today to hear the truth that they are saved in you. Rescue them, Jesus, today. Draw them out. Rescue them. Rescue them and save them with a mighty salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for doing it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, we love you. God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord. Be saved. Amen. Be safe and be saved. And we'll see you Wednesday night.